No, no, wake up. Okay, it's finally over. What a horrendous race weekend. Oh my God. But, you know, even the people that were mocking me, laughing at me last week, abusing me, should I add, for saying that actually, F1 is a little bit boring. I suggested maybe bringing back refueling as something to change that.
Awful decision.
Yep, that got absolutely laughed out of question. So,
look, okay, before we continue, you're a bit annoyed because I posted a video post the Japanese Grand Prix yesterday basically saying the race was boring. And actually, you guys were really nice. And you all agreed. Luke is a bit triggered about this because
it's
when
bullshit.
He said
it. Because I said it last week about China. And I was like, you know, maybe we should consider bringing someone like refueling back. At least then we get like a strategy race, so to speak. Everyone's like, it's just one boring race. There's only been two races this season. The first one was mega. Wasn't, but it was all right because it was wet. If it was dry, crap. China, crap. Suzuka, crap. What, like, what more do you need to see? You can see the proof with your eyes. Just watch it. I woke up at 6 a.m. to watch that race, right? Boring. Oh, and then what did that guy say in the comments? Oh, you don't enjoy it when the Brits aren't winning. I was glad that Max won. What do you want me to say? Like,
that is the funny thing about it, is because, yeah, on the comments, I had a couple of comments going, oh, you know, literally one of them was said, oh, it's only boring when the British drivers aren't winning. That is completely incorrect. Okay,
yeah, that is such bullshit.
Let's put this into context. We're Lewis fans, all right? We want to see Lewis win. Granted.
Which doesn't happen anymore.
And this is a sprint race. However, yesterday, I was delighted Max won. And that is very strange to come from us, especially in 2021. We couldn't stand the bloke. For us to go, do you know what? I actually really enjoyed that he won that. You know, I would have been happy with Oscar Piastri. Do you know what? It doesn't mean...
Well, not Lando.
Yeah, Lando, I wouldn't mind.
You see, there's the irony to your argument. He doesn't even want the British driver to win. The one British driver that could have won, Matt doesn't want him to win.
No, I've got to tell you this. This is even funnier. So on Spotify, last week's episode, right? Somebody commented, because you can comment on there. You do go and comment. Hey, guys, I think we're at a point now where Matt will just say Oscar above Lando every week. He says it's just... He says he does not have an agenda, but it's so clear to see it's unreal. That's from Sam Hart. Thank you for the comment. I don't have a Lando agenda. I'm just not a fan of him. That's not an agenda. I'm just not a fan of him. That's it.
I mean, entitled to opinions. You not being a fan of him probably then makes you build an agenda.
No, when you talk about him. No.
The reason we don't talk about Lando is because here on BoxBox, we are winners. So welcome along to the BoxBox podcast. We come to you every single week. Normally at 5 p.m. on a Monday, if you're listening, or 5 p.m. on a Tuesday, if you're watching. Yeah. But we are a little bit late this week because there were some personal issues to take care of. But we are here. Better late than never, right? I mean, this is likely going to be going out at about 9 o'clock Monday evening, and it will be here 5 p.m. Tuesday. So, wherever you are listening to us, do give us a 5-star rating because it really does make a difference and we really do appreciate it. And as Matt said, you can also comment on Spotify. Apparently, that's a thing. You can also follow the pod and get notifications every time we launch a new one. But as I just told you, that's 5 p.m. every Monday unless something happens. And I should note, we are not here next week because I am away. However, if you do want to stay up to date, we will be active on social media. So you can head over to @BoxBoxPod if you want to check us out on Instagram. @BoxBoxClips on TikTok.
Yep.
And then something for Twitter. Just search BoxBox. Maybe we'll come up, maybe not.
And just to say, with regards to, obviously, we've got Bahrain this weekend. So basically, all of our views, mainly mine, because you will send across the odd video here and there, will be on TikTok and Instagram. Yeah. So
that is where you are going to get the most up-to-date, relevant content all across the weekend. So do get involved. We should also mention that we have an exclusive offer for you to sign up to BoxBox Club. The link is in the description down below. You can get 30% off BoxBox Club Ultra. The subscription is incredible. You can get all your F1 widgets on your phone, also your Apple Watch. It's very sick. So yeah, check that out. Link is in the description down below. But this is the part where we get on with the show. And trust me, God, we've got a lot to talk about from the weekend in Japan. You know what? I know you're probably going to tune out for that bit. There is some stuff to talk about. I think there's a bit more news outside of the race. We're not going to bore you to death by going over a boring race. But we are also going to look ahead to one of my favourite races of the season at one of my favourite tracks, Bahrain, because I do think that is going to be a much, much more exciting race.
Well, it's weird, isn't it, with Japan? Because cast our mind back to Friday, FP2. We had, what was it, 4 red flags. We had a red flag for Jack Doohan. Yep. We then had a red flag for...
Are we going to talk about the Jack Doohan situation?
We will do.
Is that coming up?
It was coming up. We then had the red flag for Fernando Alonso. Yep. We then had 2 red flags for fires on the grass fires.
The fire thing was weird.
Yeah. So when you had that on Friday, you're thinking, do you know what? This weekend is teeing up that there's going to be a bit of action here. Something will happen. But actually, the race didn't even have a yellow flag. That was it. It didn't have a yellow flag. No driver DNF'd and only one car got lapped. Can you tell me who the driver was who got lapped?
Of course I can. It was Lance Stroll. I actually saw...
He's back.
I saw a really funny tweet about it. I like to think that I saved it because I saw it and I thought this would be good for the podcast.
Do you know what? Last week we gave Lance Stroll a lot of credit, didn't we? Because
I didn't save it.
You didn't? No. That doesn't surprise
but
me.
But it was funny.
Oh, good. Well, enjoy that one, everyone, guys. But we gave Lance Stroll quite a bit of credit last week. We said, you know what? He seems to be enjoying it. But no, this weekend, Lance Stroll is fully back. Fully back.
But I'll cut him some slack. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because this weekend, I think it... Look, it clearly proved to be a race that wherever you qualified, chances are that's where you're finishing.
Yeah.
So if you had a bad quali... Not that I don't think that was necessarily known at the time, but if you had a bad quali, you had a bad race. Mm. And that showed for everyone. There's very few positional changes.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you know, Lance Stroll was unlucky enough to be at the back. But, hey, it must have been nice for Liam Lawson not being last for once.
Very true. Very true. Do you want to... Let's go through each team. Should we do that?
Okay, we'll go through the
teams. Makes it easy, because we'll get onto Jack Doohan in a second, and we'll give our opinions on that. What team do you fancy starting with?
I want to start with Haas.
Okay,
a team that you typically find at the back. Yeah. But an interesting weekend for the boys. I'll let you kick it off.
Yeah, interesting in the sense of Ollie Bearman looked good this weekend.
Ollie Bearman, right, I came out and said it last week. I took back what I said about him, right? I was never mean about him. I just gave my opinion, right?
You had an agenda against him.
Didn't have an agenda. Mine was an opinion.
Yeah.
That based on, you know, the handful of races we had seen him in F1. And yeah, he's made me look a right idiot because he's good.
He is.
I like him. And I said from day one, I hope my opinion's wrong. I hope he proves me wrong. And he has, like, within 3 races. Mm. He scored points in a Haas. You know, he got into Q3 in a Haas. He's got a teammate, Esteban Ocon, very experienced F1 driver.
Race winner.
He's making him look like a tit, to be honest. He's making him look like a subpar driver.
He's making him look... Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I think, you know, for Ollie Bearman to pick up a point, another point in that Haas... Nobody expected him to be doing this against Esteban Ocon. And granted, it's only race 3. But Ollie Bearman has just grown with confidence.
Ocon looks nowhere.
Well, give him a bit of slack because he picked up points in China. He was actually one of our driver of the days in China.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's... This weekend, like you say, if you had a bad qualifying, that's where you basically ended up in the race. And we obviously didn't know that before the race. But... I think Ocon, he qualified P18, went out in Q1, really tough weekend for him. And actually, he was pretty much nowhere in the race. So it'd be interesting to see how he goes forward, especially in Bahrain and Saudi. But I'm going to give Ocon a bit of slack because he did pick up some points in China. He looked relatively good there. Yeah, I'm not too worried. It'd be interesting to see. But Ollie Bearman, fair play, picking up that P10. He looks good.
And it was nice. You saw the pictures of his dad at the race as well. It's F1 dads are becoming a thing.
We've got a Lando lot of Norris.
Yeah, we've got a lot of F1 dads.
Lewis Hamilton, Carlos Sainz Sr.
Yeah.
Jos Verstappen.
Yep.
Who else is there?
Not one of our favourites. Should just put that on there.
Who else is there?
Well, you've got Ollie Bearman's
Ollie
dad.
Ollie Bearman's dad.
Sorry, Oscar Piastri's mum. She's
class on Twitter.
She's an Instagram... Well, she's an internet star.
She is.
But no, I like it. And obviously, it was really great seeing that, you know. I don't think anyone was expecting Bearman to pick up points, at least anytime soon. Mm.
I think what you saw this weekend with the rookies in general, there was a lot of interviews afterwards. People were like Isaac Hadjar, Kimi Antonelli. They're saying this whole race is basically like qualifying. Every lap is like a qualifying lap. And they did phenomenal. They really did.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. On that point about the tyres, I've read something that George Russell said about how essentially the tyres... But I think due to the resurfacing, the tyres could just go and go and go, and they were just able to push them.
Yeah.
They said it made it really boring.
Well, one of the things he came out afterwards, should we just touch on Mercedes while we're here?
Yeah, I mean, let's just round off on Haas. Any weekend I think Haas pick up points is going to be a good weekend for them. They'll be super happy with Ollie Bearman. The fact that it was actually him who was able to pick up points. And yeah, maybe I was a little harsh on Ocon, you know, he did pick up points last week. They're probably looking at it like, okay, if we've got two drivers that can snatch points every now and then, I say every now and then, you know, there's a decent haul of points for three races in.
I think it was always going to be concerning at the beginning of the season because you've gone from Hülkenberg, who was picking up points consistently last year. You then had Magnussen, who, apart from like doing bumper cars, he was picking up the odd points here and there.
Still a very experienced F1 driver.
Yeah. So then coming into this season, you know, Esteban Ocon, you would expect him to pick up some points because of his experience in Alpine, he's a race winner and all of that. But then the unknown was always Ollie Bearman. Yes, okay, he picked up when he points in Haas last year when he raced for them in Baku, picked up points when he was in a Ferrari. But coming into this full-time seat now, you was always a bit unsure what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And I think...
And you've always got to be a little bit unsure of what Haas are going to do.
Yeah.
Are they going to produce a car that is all right? Or are they just going to give you a stinker?
Komatsu has done a phenomenal job and we gave him credit at the end of last season.
Yeah, there's been a big turnaround there.
You know, we initially was like, getting rid of Steiner, God, that's what sort of decision is that? But
actually, I remember saying at the time that were people just sad to see him go because he was a big personality?
Yeah.
And he was a great personality in the grid. But genuinely, if you look at it, track record, very poor.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it's proved to be the right decision for Haas. That's something that no one can deny.
They're much more stable now than they have been before. That's especially financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we've said before, Gene Haas, this is the first season he hasn't had to put his own money in,
mm-hmm.
which when you get to that point is phenomenal. They've got, you know, two good drivers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got a really, you know, good rookie.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the rookies, I would say Bearman is up there with the likes of Antonelli or Isaac Hadjar. I would say those three are the top performing ones.
And I want to talk about Isaac Hadjar later.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot to talk about that young man. He's going under the radar.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's brilliant. And Kimi Antonelli, like, he's just class. He is just class. And
let's talk about Mercedes then.
So... It was a weird one, wasn't it? Because let's just go straight to qualifying for that. They qualified P5, P6.
Mm-hmm.
And what was interesting in Q1, Q2, I think, was it Q2? Russell was pretty much second or something, second or third.
Russell looked really quick.
Yeah. And it wasn't until the Q3 on his final run, he kind of mucked up going into turn one. I don't know if you remember seeing that. And all of a sudden that lap was basically over. So it was a surprise to see Mercedes P5 and P6. I think Antonelli did well to get P6, but I was a bit surprised with George, especially how he looked over the weekend. I thought he was going to get maybe a P2 or P3 qualifying. Yep. So that was a bit of a shock. But then come race day, I mean, again, both drivers finished. There's not really much to say where they finished because they finished all in the same area.
Yeah, there's nothing to really talk about in the race.
With regards to, you know, again, Russell and Antonelli picking up consistent points. When you look at Russell, he did exactly what he needed to do. He was closing in on Leclerc at some points, but again,
I don't care what anyone says. George Russell is a title contender this season.
What?
That is a fact.
I mean, in theory, yes.
Not in theory. George Russell is very much in this title fight, right? That Mercedes does not look half bad.
I agree with you on that one.
In my opinion.
Better than we thought.
It's better than the Red Bull and it's better than the Ferrari. Okay? We have seen that McLaren are able to be beaten with a car that isn't quicker than theirs, right? I don't care what anyone says. And we'll talk about Lando Norris and some of the... They were wanky comments. They were... We'll talk about them. That Red Bull is not a great car, right? Max Verstappen is a great driver, right? George Russell has a better car than Max Verstappen this season. And I think George Russell is going to consistently be there or thereabouts. And I think he's going to get some race wins this season. And I really think he's in this title fight. Just don't write him off now is all I'm saying.
Oh.
Because look, he's well up there. He's fourth position at the moment, right? He's 4 points behind Oscar Piastri.
Mm.
He's, okay, look, Max and Lando are a little bit further ahead, but it's way too early to... Max is 16 points ahead of George. That's nothing. Lando's 17 points ahead of him. Keep your eye on George Russell because, believe me, that guy is there when it matters.
Mm.
If any of those boys slip up, you better believe it's George that is winning the race because he's just found himself in this favourable position out of nowhere. And it will happen.
Yeah.
Look, would I put my money on George Russell? Absolutely not. I'm not an idiot. I'm just saying, don't count him out of a title challenge this season because I think he could win the Drivers' Championship.
Do let us know what your thoughts are on that. That's a bold statement. That's a bold statement. I agree with you. He's in and around. It's still very early. Yeah, fair play.
What was it George had to say?
I don't know.
Oh, what? Do you not have it?
No.
I thought you had it. You were like, let's talk about Mercedes.
Yeah, I'll talk about Mercedes. I'm talking about Kimi Antonelli.
Okay, go on then. Talk about Kimi.
Obviously, Kimi Antonelli, the youngest ever driver to lead a Grand Prix.
Yes.
Youngest driver ever to get the fastest lap.
Mm-hmm.
The first driver since Lewis Hamilton to pick up points in his first three races in his debut season.
Yeah, although, can I just say, Lewis was getting P2s and P3s. Lewis got three podiums, I think.
No, take nothing away from Kimi.
I'm just saying, you know, look.
No.
There's different levels to this.
Yeah, no. Take nothing away from Kimi here. This is phenomenal by Kimi.
Three podiums.
Yeah.
Pretty sure it was three podiums, I'm sure. It was like third, second, was it not? His first three races.
But it's... Okay, right.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
Well, you are.
I'm just saying...
No, you are taking something away
from
him.
So if he finished P10, P9...
Still picking up points in it. But he's not, though, is he? He's not. That's the difference. Yeah, Lewis's season is different to what Kimi's season is.
I think people are trying to draw too many similarities to him and Lewis. And
yeah,
look, Kimi's a lot younger.
He is.
He's a lot younger than, well, like what, 4 or 5 years younger than Lewis was when he came into the sport.
Yeah.
But Kimi's car should be placing in points.
Oh, 100% agree with you on that.
If he hadn't placed in the points every...
Then you'd be concerned.
That would be concerning. But look, it's good. And I said from last season, I love the fact that big teams are giving rookies a chance.
And
Because we don't see that anymore.
No. And we were quite, you know, open about it last year, weren't we? That actually Kimi Antonelli coming in is a risk in itself.
Yeah.
Because you're replacing a seven-time world champion with a driver who placed, what, P7, P8 in F2 last year, for example. And it's a risk. But it's a risk that's actually starting to pay off. This is a driver who has got a great relationship with Bono. You can hear that in the radio messages, radios. They just seem to be connecting. This is a driver who is just growing with confidence. Mm-hmm. He's putting everything into it, which I know you should expect because he's a professional racing driver. But, and he's a really likable character. You know, I think he's great. I really do think it's great that Mercedes have taken this chance on someone like Kimi Antonelli to come in and prove himself, because he's doing exactly that. He's doing exactly what he needs to do to gain confidence, build up that rapport with the team, get used to the car, and just continue to grow with his development. And I think it's great. And this weekend was another testament that actually in a difficult track like this, mm-hmm. I know drivers say this is the best track on the calendar, they love it.
I think they've changed their mind a little bit now, some of them.
But it is a relentless track, because like I said earlier, you were doing basically 55 or whatever laps it is, 55 quali laps. Mm-hmm. It is relentless, lap after lap. And Kimi, you know, finishing just behind George is not... And he was catching...
Yeah, he was the quickest man on track.
And we've got to remember, Lewis, after his pit stop...
You know, he set the fastest racing lap at Suzuka ever.
Yeah. It's brilliant.
He is impressive.
But also, what's impressive is Lewis Hamilton went on to mediums. In theory, the fastest...
The hards were quicker.
No, but this is the... But he was pulling away from Lewis very comfortably.
Yeah, but this... No, but this... That's not a Kimi thing. The hards were quicker. Yeah. That's obviously come out after that. The hards were quicker than the mediums.
Which is mental. How... When have we ever had that?
Look, there's something fundamentally wrong with the cars, the tyres, a lot. Like, get us out of this era now. Mm. I am not enjoying it. I don't think it's been good at all, really, to be honest. We've had a good handful of races.
Yeah.
But generally, this era of cars has been tragic.
Just finishing with Kimi. Very impressed. Do let us know what your thoughts are on Kimi. Yeah, he's been great. He really has to be. I'm excited to see what he can continue to go on and do. And you just listen to his interviews. He's just brilliant. I think he's just great.
No, is he paying you?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. By the hour.
Right. Who's up next? I want to talk about Williams.
Okay.
Alex Albon today became the first driver in F1 to receive a fine for bad language over the radio. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but is that because he was absolutely brutal to his team?
€150,000 fine, and I believe 3 points on his super license.
Ooh.
Yeah. Pretty insane for using a few Fs and Jeffs.
Well, and he also said it's saying the team are ridiculous.
You can't fine someone for saying that.
No, I'm not saying that's what he got fined for, but what I'm saying is, look, with all that effing...
All I'll say...
Yeah.
Is Alex Albon is not normally a hot-headed man.
This season, though...
Something has wound him up there. So, I think drivers are right to call out the team when things are happening.
Yeah.
I always think it's probably best not to do it over the radio. Mm. But you just said yourself...
Where was she going to do it?
Well, he could have gone in the garage afterwards.
Got a WhatsApp while you're...
Well, no, but he could have not got that frustrated about the situation over the radio in the car.
He was pretty brutal to the team throughout the race.
He was, and you can't... You just said that they're doing 55, whatever, 56 quali laps. That's adrenaline pumping through his body.
Can't stop that.
There's something, some issue with the car. I don't know. I don't quite know what it was. He was furious, shouted at his engineer. Was a little bit harsh, in my opinion. But you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And ultimately, he's paid a pretty hefty price because I'm sure the team aren't going to cover that for him. And he's now €150,000 lighter in the pocket.
He's probably gone now. He said, look, Fauzi, that's what he calls him. You know, pay it for me. You did give me a crap car. You caused me, well, not crap car, but you caused me to get really stressed. Pay my fine.
What are you going on about?
Just seeing if he goes.
You're a strange, strange bloke, aren't you? There's no way the team are going to pay that. The team, he'll go there and be like, you know, fuck off, mate. Chatting shit about us on the radio. Lucky we don't report you for something fake that didn't happen to double the fine, you prat. We're like, get to the bank, withdraw the cash, down to the FIA, and shut up.
Let's talk about qualifying. Obviously, Alex Albon P9, Carlos Sainz P12. Carlos Sainz has taken, and I know there's some talk, isn't there, about different chassis.
I'm pretty sure James Bowles squashed those rumours.
Oh, did he? I haven't heard that. But Carlos Sainz is taking his time to adjust to this team, which is become a...
I mean, look, P12, P9.
Well, one's in points. Well, actually, Alex Albon finished P9. Carlos Sainz finished P14 in the race. So
yeah, no, granted, Carlos Sainz was one of the few people who managed to...
go backwards.
Get overtaken. Yeah. So, no... I agree. Carlos Sainz has not started as strong as I think everyone anticipated him to. But it is very early doors. I was expecting more of him.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Carlos Sainz, race winner with Ferrari, going to Williams, massive signing. We got on the hype train thinking this is phenomenal for Williams.
But it's still all about 26 for them.
No, I know. But if you've got Alex Albon, which is outperforming you week in, week out, which, and we've also said, we expected Carlos Sainz to be better than Albon this year, that doesn't seem to be happening.
No, but it is only three races in.
Granted.
I think, give it time. I mean, Albon's ahead of Lewis Hamilton in the championship.
Yeah.
Albon's...
everyone's pretty much ahead of Lewis Hamilton in the championship.
It's not looking good for Ferrari. But yeah, Albon's got 18 points, is it? Yeah, 18 points. So he's got off to an extremely strong start.
Mm.
And this is not to take anything away from Alex Albon, but we've also got to look at whether that start is realistic of the performance in the car.
I think a lot will be said, because the first three races have been in very cool conditions. We haven't really had the heat yet with certain races. I think the next couple of races will be a real insight to see where cars really are. Because I know we'll touch on this later, but we're expecting the McLarens to be really strong as we're going into the hotter countries, Bahrain, Saudi. So I think the next couple of races will be answer a lot of questions to see where the cars are, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because Red Bull, can they keep their strength going into Bahrain? Is it not, you know?
Let's talk about Red Bull.
All right.
Okay, because Max Verstappen obviously won the race this weekend.
But let's rewind, okay? Let's rewind before we get into that. Yuki Tsunoda, first race in Red Bull, first home race.
Yeah.
You said he was going to win the race.
No, the problem is I meant Max. I knew it was going to be Red Bull. I said the wrong car.
Driver.
Well, I mean, they're two different cars still, aren't they?
Mm. Well, you didn't get that one, right, did you?
Car one instead of car whatever number Yuki is.
22.
Exactly. So, yeah, I came close with that. You know, I got the team right, so I got points for that. But it was a... Look, let's not call it what it is. It was a disappointing weekend for Yuki Tsunoda.
Hmm.
But did better than Liam Lawson did. So he'll take something from that. He had a funny setup on as well. He was running a more loaded rear wing.
Hmm.
You know, it did cost him lap time. But I would also say, you know, through practice, he was looking all right. He looked a lot more comfortable in the car than Liam Lawson. I'll say that. And I really think in coming into Bahrain, Yuki will be just fine.
Yeah. I think from what you've seen for Yuki this weekend, he did get out-qualified by Liam Lawson, which was a shock to everyone, obviously. Yeah.
But he did overtake him almost instantly.
He did. But, you know, Lawson qualified P14, Tsunoda P15. And... going into the race, yeah, okay, he he overtook him, but Lawson did have a snap out of the exit, which then allowed Tsunoda to overtake. So, yeah, but... granted, it's an overtake. With how everything was this weekend, it's a bit hard to read into it. And I know a lot of people will go, well, hang on, you give Lawson a hard time and he'd lost his seat after two races where he had difficult conditions. And granted,
P20, he qualified both races.
Yeah.
Well, that's worthy of a hard time. I sat here and said that is not ideal for Tsunoda. But I would say generally throughout the weekend, Tsunoda looked a lot closer to Max than Lawson did. He looked a lot more comfortable in that car than Lawson did. And I've said openly, I hated the Lawson situation. It's horrible seeing a driver get given a seat and then have it taken away two races after. But the facts are the facts.
Yeah.
That was a horrible start to his time at Red Bull.
I think the important thing for Yuki this weekend was getting the practice in, getting used to the car, getting the home race out of the way, because
it's a lot more added pressure.
A lot more distractions. And now he can really focus on going to Bahrain, mm-hmm. building with his team. I agree with you. I think Yuki will be absolutely fine. He looks more at one with the car than maybe Lawson did. He finished P12. This weekend is hard to gauge where they are because of no one really overtook anyone. So I think Yuki will be fine. It's positive that he finished the race. He got some good laps behind him. He's got his home race out of the way.
Yeah, but also let's not baby him. Like, it was underwhelming.
No,
it wasn't good enough.
No,
it wasn't the start that he should have hoped for, especially when Max won the race.
100%.
Okay, so firstly, the people are saying, oh, you know, thank God the rumours of this Red Bull being a tractor are over. Like, no one can say that anymore. Yeah, they can. Max Verstappen just drove the wheels off that thing. I'm sorry, like, anyone else is in that Red Bull, you're not getting near the front. No chance. And Max even came out. I don't know if you saw in his interview after the race. He said, if I was in one of those McLarens, this was translated. If I was in one of those McLarens, you wouldn't have seen me. Like, he would have driven off.
He would have been gone.
He would have been absolutely gone. It would have been a whitewash.
He would have lapped the whole grid.
Yeah, genuinely. Like, Max is so quick. It was the quali lap was so impressive. It was so impressive that me, someone who had to sit down and watch Abu Dhabi 21 as a Lewis fan, fucking cheered when Max crossed the line. Because I was like, that is so good.
Because you hate Lando.
No, it was genuinely because that's gender. You. It was genuinely because it was so impressive. And I was like, that is what the best drivers look like. And I said this to Glenn, a friend of ours who is also a Lewis Hamilton fan. And it pained me to say, but I said, Max Verstappen is exactly what Lewis Hamilton was 6-7 years ago.
I've got a question.
Is true.
And I agree. Do you think Max Verstappen, at this point in his career, is already... Take away, obviously, the championships. Just look at the actual driver and itself. Is better than Lewis Hamilton.
Than Lewis Hamilton now?
No. Lewis Hamilton around this time.
Lewis in his prime.
Lewis in his prime.
I wouldn't say it's something that you can definitively say, like, he's better. I said it before. I put Max in the category of Lewis, Michael, Senna, Prost, the best drivers to ever grace the grid. And, you know, I've always said, statistically, Lewis is the best driver. No one is ever, well, someone might change that, but, like, at this point, no one can ever say that that is not true. But a lot of it is always going to be, how does a driver make you feel? I mean, even now, Max Verstappen makes me feel a certain way when I watch him. I just think, wow, you're so good. But, look, I think if we were able to witness Lewis in his prime versus Max in his prime, and we did obviously get a season of that, I think we would just be in for some of the greatest F1 years of our life. And I don't think it's about comparison, because I can sit here as a Lewis fan and naturally I'm going to say, no, I think Lewis in his prime was better. And that's fine, but that's going to trigger people at home. So I'll take the diplomatic route of saying, look, they're all in that category of unbelievable. And one day, Max will beat Lewis. The next, Lewis will beat Max, both in their prime. And that's why it pains me, you know, because I don't think we'll see Lewis on that level ever again.
No, and I think that's the thing, you know, we're at this stage now, and we've said on the podcast previously that, you know, there's only two drivers who could compete and go for a championship properly. If you put in a competitive cars and all of this stuff, it'd be Lewis versus Max, and they're the only two. I am at that point now, and I find it really sad, because obviously being a Lewis fan, that Max wins all day long. Max just is on a different level than any other driver in the world right now.
And that's what I mean. You know, Max is what Michael Schumacher was in the early 2000s. Mm. Max is what Lewis was, you know, in 2015, 2016. Mm. Okay, I know Nico won, but 2017, 2018, 2019. Like, that is Max right now. Mm. And, you know, it's... those drivers just don't get beaten.
No.
And Max showed that this weekend. He's that car is nowhere near the McLaren. It doesn't matter what anyone says, it's nowhere near it.
That was this race this weekend was McLaren's to win.
Yeah.
And that's a fact. But Max Verstappen, as you said, and it sounds like we're just massive Max Verstappen fans, and I suppose we appreciate a good driver.
We appreciate Max, but trust me, I'm far from a Max fan. Yeah.
You know, Max is, we've said many times, each week he turns up and you don't expect anything. And the great thing about Max Verstappen is, and I think it was Anthony Davidson hit it now on head this weekend, Max doesn't rush his weekend. He starts off in practice, doesn't look always great, maybe not where you expect him to be. You're thinking, oh, that Red Bull doesn't look great this weekend. And he works his way through. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, puts it on pole, wins the race. He's so good at that. Mm. Whereas, you know, you look at some people on the grid, if they're bad in practice, the likelihood is they're going to be bad in qualifying or the race. So, but Max just builds his way through.
And then he pulls out a quali lap like that, and it's like, yeah, but let's talk about, you know, his quote-unquote title rival.
Okay.
And let's head over to McLaren now.
Yeah.
Because before the weekend started, a certain Lando Norris had something to say.
Okay.
About every other team on the grid. I don't know if you've seen this.
Did I post a video about this?
I don't know. He spoke about Ferrari. He said, we're not that far ahead of them, Ferrari. We literally are the only team that has two good drivers at the minute. That's the big difference. What the hell is he smoking?
That's his words.
Yeah, this is a quote from Autosport. I'm going to show it to the camera right now. See, verified account. And that is what he said. So, Lewis Hamilton, Charles Leclerc are in the same team.
Mm.
But does Lando even have 7 race wins? Lewis has got 7 world championships. And I know what we just said. But Lewis is still a very good driver. Mm. A very good driver. Now, Charles Leclerc is a very good driver. George Russell is a very good driver. Kimi Antonelli is proving to be a good driver, and he will be a very good driver. Every time I start to warm to Lando, he says something that triggers me so much that I'm
why do you think that I can't warm to him? Because it's things like these, but I'm the one who's apparently got an agenda. I haven't got an agenda. I just
hate the fact that he won't just admit that they've got the fastest car. There's no problem with that. Do you think Max Verstappen was coming out in 2023 saying, well, actually, the car's not that good? Mm. No, the car is good. The car is very good. There's no shame in having the best car. You need the best car normally to win in F1.
Yeah.
But it normally is required to be partnered with the best driver. Now, Lando Norris is not the best driver on the grid. And that's not to say I don't think Lando isn't a very good driver, because I do think McLaren have a very good driver pairing. And it is, you know, I think it's on par with Lewis and Charles. But you've got Max Verstappen on the grid, who is the best driver, and you can give him a car that is subpar, and he will still take you to town if you're in the best car.
Just quickly touching on the Lando Max thing while we're talking about this.
Yeah.
The pit incident.
Okay.
Because I'm not being funny, okay? There was... I don't know what Lando was smoking this weekend, but Max... We've sat here, Max Verstappen can be very aggressive, okay, when he needs to be.
He can be dirty.
He can be dirty. On this occasion, all he was doing was driving in a straight line out of the pit. That was all he was doing.
And he couldn't move, because if he did move out of the way, he would have crossed the pit line.
And then he got a penalty.
Exactly.
But Lando Norris decided to go off-roading. And I don't quite understand how Lando can come over the radio and go, he pushed me off. No. There was no... Do you know what? Talking about being a boring race, that was, in theory, the most exciting part of the race.
Yeah.
Okay. And even that wasn't even exciting, because there was no unsafe release. There was no, you have to give the place back or whatever. There was nothing exciting even about that.
No, but it was a little bit pathetic coming over the radio and being like, oh, he pushed me off.
Yeah.
And I get it, because I know people are going to be at home and be like, well, they have to come and say that. It's like... Yeah, but have some pride. That's what I think. It's like, you know when footballers go down and they like scream and like hold their face, and it's like, we weren't even touched.
And all of a sudden you see the ball roll past and they're getting back up and chasing after
him. I just couldn't do that, because no. I'd be like, I've got some pride and integrity.
Yeah. It was very interesting this weekend watching McLaren do nothing.
Because it was interesting watching them trying to dummy Red Bull.
Well, there was that. But it was just interesting watching McLaren just accept defeat in some sense. Because, you know, you had an opportunity here where, you know, Oscar Piastri, P3, closing in on Lando. He has DRS on him. He's saying he's the faster car. They're saying that Lando's got no extra pace in him to actually, you know, go after Max. Piastri's like, okay, well, give me an option to go. At this point in time, you're P2 and P3, okay? That's it. That's the best you're going to do in this moment in time, unless you change something. The best outcome would be finishing P1 and P3.
Yeah,
so sure. Oscar could overtake, you know, they let Oscar go. He chases down Max, wins a race, okay? Best outcome. You could sit at home and go, oh, do you know what? They tried that. Okay, it didn't quite work. They just switched positions. But I like the fact that McLaren tried that. On this occasion, all they did was just sit there and do nothing.
Yeah, they had to swap positions early on. They had to be decisive. And I've seen too much of this from McLaren. They're such a soft team. They're so soft in everything they do. It's all like... It's like being at school. Hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you look at the other teams. They're so like... The championship teams over the years, cutthroat, right? It's about maximising every single result. And I don't know whether it's because they're constantly trying to, like, pander to Lando and make him feel, like, a certain way, or whether it's that's just what the team dynamic is. But they've got to start being a little bit more ruthless.
It did feel yesterday that actually they didn't want to upset Lando. And I know people will probably go, what are you on about? You're talking rubbish. But there's Oscar Piastri going...
Right, by the way.
Oscar Piastri is going, I'm the faster car. Let me have a go. And they're going, okay, no, just stick to where you are.
And I think that's the point. We're not saying that like Lando should have given up the position to just, you know, take third place. Mm. We've seen it plenty. You know, we'll go back to... God, when was it? Was it 2018 Hungary or 2019 Hungary where...
Lewis Bottas. Yeah.
Bottas gave Lewis the position. Lewis tried to attack the Ferrari. Didn't happen. He gave it back on the last corner.
And that's all they had to do.
That is all they had to do. But, and you know, chances are, Oscar wouldn't have been able to overtake Max anyway. I don't think there was much overtaking happening, especially up front. But it's given them the opportunity to do so.
But Andrea Stella came out and he said, he was asked, Ted Kravitz asked him after, you know, why didn't you have the opportunity to go? And he said, overtaking was not possible due to the dirty air, which is why they didn't allow Oscar to pass Lando. And
well, that's like saying, we think it might be impossible, so we'll just
do it.
You're never going to win with that mentality.
It was really interesting afterwards to see a lot of, you know, social media going, you know, I would have respected McLaren. A lot of people kind of lost respect because they were like, I'd have respected you if you kind of gone for it. Made that decision, go, you know what, Oscar, go and give it a good go. But nothing happened. And the thing that worries me this year with McLaren is they're playing it so safe that actually it's kind of like, if they go on to win the Constructors or whatever, it feels a bit manipulated or by who is going to win it, if that makes sense. So if Lando goes on to win the title, well, you've kind of done it by, you know, team orders or no overtaking or stick to your positions. Does that make sense?
To some extent, but I will defend them in the sense that, or I'll defend or argue against that point, in that I don't think Oscar Piastri could have overtaken Lando on track.
No.
So they didn't take any points away from Oscar.
No. No, okay, yeah, I get your point with that.
They potentially denied him the opportunity of getting P1, but as I've already said, I don't think he would have been able to overtake Max, but that's not the point.
But what
the
I
point
think
is, he should have been given the opportunity to do so.
And what I think with it is actually there'll be races throughout the season where they will implement team orders to get the maximise the points for the constructors rather than the driver's title. We've said before, when you have a driver's title and a constructor's, granted, the constructor's is where you make the money, okay? Get that. But the main prize is a driver's title.
There's so much more pride in that.
Red Bull hit the nail on the head yesterday with Christian Horner when he said, we've got to do whatever we can to get Max to win that title this year. Mm-hmm. That was it. Not about like, oh, winning the constructor's for Red Bull, nothing like that. We want to win the driver's title. And that's what you want to see.
The thing is, these teams at the top have enough money. Mm. You know, they shouldn't be thinking prize money. And yet, granted, winning the Constructors is great, right? And it was great for McLaren last year because they haven't won it for so long. Mm. You've got to win the Drivers' Championship. That is what it is all about. What? I know it's a team sport, but it's not really. It's all about winning the World Drivers' Championship.
Mm. What was spoken about more last year? Max winning his fourth world title, you know,
exactly.
Or the constructors.
No, it's all about winning the world championship. It's the constructors is great, and obviously it's a massive part of the sport, but it's not winning the drivers' championship.
You know, when you come over in years to come, when they retire, they'll go race for McLaren. They won't go, oh, three times constructor world championship.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
They won't care.
Like you don't say like, oh yeah, you know, he won seven constructors championship. No one calls Lewis Hamilton an eight time constructors champion or whatever. They call him a
seven time world champion.
Yeah. It's to be fair, it would actually be a nine time. Oh no, because they didn't get it in it got taken away, didn't it, in 2008, the constructors. Mm. Or, yeah. No, it was 2007 it got taken away.
Yeah.
So he would be a nine-time Constructors' Champion. No one calls him that, because it's all about the World Champion. And the prestige of having a World Champion drive your car. No, they've got their priorities wrong.
Yeah, I agree. Do let us know what your thoughts. You may agree, you may disagree, but I feel like McLaren are putting all their bets on getting this Constructors rather than actually concentrating on the Drivers' Championship. And I just feel like we're going to have many races throughout this year where they will be told to hold position or don't race because we don't want to let them race. Let the drivers go. And granted, Oscar may not have got past Lando.
Very passionate about this, aren't you?
Well, I am, because people go to me, oh, well, it's all, you know, you've got to enjoy it. But I want to see head-to-head. And if they come together in the nicest possible way, so what? It's racing. Do you know what I mean? I want to see them go wheel-to-wheel, and I want to see good quality driving. But I feel it's so manipulated about what we can and what we can't do. Don't actually hold positions. Don't do this. It's just infuriating.
Well, speaking of good quality driving.
Yep.
Jack Doohan.
Hey. I may have done a video about Jack Doohan after Saturday going, I don't think that he will be racing in Bahrain. Currently, no news yet on that. But
obviously, I'm specifically referring to his crash in FP2.
Yep.
The
nasty.
Very nasty. Very nasty. Very big crash. Cool, though. You know, I always like to see the drivers okay. But come on, that's why we watch it. Mm. Like, I love those sort of crashes. They're sick. But they are. That's part of the reason we love the sport.
Yep.
Right? I'm grateful that he's okay. But it was a sick crash. Potentially stupid, however. The rumours suggest that Jack Doohan actually found out that he could take turn one flat out with the DRS flat open on the simulator. Yes, he found out on a computer game that he was able to take a corner flat out with his DRS flap open. He then applied it in real life, and he binned it in a wall pretty aggressively. Could have been a really nasty crash. Probably still felt it.
Very expensive.
Very expensive and potentially incredibly costly to his career. Now, I read these rumours and I thought, that's bullshit. He was then asked by the Scottish bloke from Sky Sports. Can't remember his name. There was rumours, that this happened and that's why you took the car out, basically. He's like, oh, I'd really rather not talk about that situation. It was true then, was it? Really? That is impressive. And I think that is what is going to lead him to... That's probably the nail in the coffin for him, really. That is really silly.
Well, obviously, the Alpine drivers were testing in Italy as well this weekend. Colapinto
was testing in Monza.
Obviously, they are testing. That's what they need to do. It's not a separate test. It's not a test which they do in preparation or anything. It's only a matter of time. I think when you look at the rookies, and we've touched on people like Isaac Hadjar, even Bortoleto, Kimi Antonelli, Behrmann, okay? Mm-hmm. These rookies are doing pretty good. Jack Doohan, on the other hand, is struggling. And with Briatore, he's not a patient man. He's not a patient man indeed. And
I don't, well, look, the writing was on the wall for Jack Doohan anyway. Jack Doohan would have had to perform incredibly impressive to not lose his seat.
Yeah. Because I think, when you look at qualifying, Jack Doohan P19, and he ended up finishing, P15? A couple of places behind Pierre Gasly. And it's interesting because people are like, oh, Jack Doohan hasn't done bad. He finished 20 seconds behind Pierre Gasly.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'll say this. I certainly don't think Jack Doohan's been the worst driver on the grid.
Mm.
I wouldn't say he's done anything to save his career, though, at this point.
All right. Who would you say has been the worst? I know you could say Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson.
Okay, but closely followed by... Because Hülkenberg, Bortoleto have done all right in that Sauber, what you expected.
Yeah, probably closely followed by Jack Doohan.
Yeah. So he's
not the worst driver in the grid.
Okay, all right. So he's P19.
Well, it's not last.
Well, in that Alpine, it is pretty embarrassing.
Yeah, no, he has had a really poor start to the season. And like I say, he hasn't got enough time anyway. He might be in Bahrain. I think that's probably the final opportunity that he's got.
Mm.
But look, we have to also be honest about Alpine. They've not really, come flying out of the blocks, have they?
No, and obviously Pierre Gasly just missed out on Q3.
Yeah.
He ended up finished P13. Gasly's taken as much as what he's doing everything he needs to in that car. He's maximising as much as he can.
We definitely worries about Gasly.
No. But yeah, I don't know. I think the writing's on the wall for Jack Doohan, and it's only a matter of time.
Yeah.
When you... he may have Bahrain. Would realistically, if they're not going to change him now, he may do Bahrain and Saudi, because finish the triple header, and you wouldn't want to bring Colapinto Pinto into that, because I think if you're going to make a change, you either need to do it over the next couple of days. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Let us know what your thoughts are on Jack Doohan. It is a very difficult time for the young man.
Should we try and bang through the rest of these to get onto Bahrain?
Yeah.
Because I think the rest are largely uneventful.
Ferrari,
decent weekend for Leclerc.
He was solid. He was consistent. Yeah. He maximised what he could out of that. Interestingly, though, I've got a thing about Lewis Hamilton.
Right, it's not this thing about his car being broken or something.
So Lewis Hamilton reveals there's been a small problem with his car for the last three races. Yeah, no shit. It's been awful, apart from the sprint race, okay? It's been pretty bad.
But Charles's car is all right?
Yeah. Well, Charles's was fine because half of his wing was missing in China, so...
Seem to improve things.
So Lewis has said, I'm generally lacking performance to all the cars that are ahead of me, particularly Mercedes, McLaren, and obviously the Red Bull. Really? We found something on the car that's been underperforming for the last three races. Engine? Power?
Driver? look, because it's the thing, we've never been shy of criticising Lewis.
No.
I think his qualifying was not good enough. Look, if this car thing is true, the thing on the car, then great. Like, that's the best news possible for us, honestly. But, like, when it's fixed, I want that to be announced, and I want to start seeing results, right?
Yeah.
I firmly believe in Lewis. I've not lost belief in Lewis, right? I still believe if you give Lewis Hamilton the right car, he can win a world championship. I'm never going to doubt that. But I have to start seeing results on track. And I know what you're going to say. He won a sprint race last week. He absolutely did. Very, very, like, emphatically as well. But then it was poor in the race. And that quali session before the race in China was poor. Mm. And then, you know, he was outqualified by Isaac Hadjar this weekend in a race in Bowen. It's more frustration. Like, I know that he's still capable of finishing up there. And I really hope it is the car.
Hmm.
But my only concern is that we saw issues with quali last season. And now they've kind of persisted into this season as well with a different team. Obviously, there were all these conspiracy theories that it was Mercedes sabotaging him, which... that said was just bullshit at the time. Like, why on earth would Mercedes do that? And I just want to see more from Lewis. And I know he's got it in him.
It'd be interesting to see over the next couple of races. Because we need to...
But Ferrari at the same time, this is not just Lewis. Ferrari need to sort their shit out.
Quickly. Yeah. Because they will fall behind very quick.
They will fall back and they need to sort it out. Because it's not just, you know... Charles has also not had a great start to the season. No. It's not just Lewis. I'm just saying, like, I expect more from Lewis. Mm. But they've both had a poor start, and a big part of that is the car.
Yeah.
The car is probably not what Lewis had expected, especially after how you saw Ferrari end last season.
You've got to be pissed when you're looking over the other side and you see Mercedes actually perform. They seem to be getting on top of the Husk.
Typical. I knew something like that was going to happen.
But I think, like I said earlier, it is going to be very evident this weekend when we're going into the hotter countries to see how these cars are performing. Because, as George Russell said this weekend, Mercedes perform well in cooler countries. That's where they've been.
Yeah.
You're now going to a place like Bahrain, Saudi, where temperatures are very high. It's going to be interesting to see how cars perform. We may see Ferrari actually...
Yeah,
pick it up. We don't know.
Absolutely, and this whole era of cars have been so unpredictable.
100%.
From track to track, but yeah, not a great weekend for Ferrari. Pretty decent for Charles.
the other teams like Sauber, they just went under the radar. There's one team I do want to talk about before we go on to Bahrain, RB. Because obviously Liam Lawson coming back into the sport this week, coming back into RB this weekend. We were expecting, and I don't know if you were at home, Liam Lawson to outperform Isaac Hadjar. You know, this is a driver who got promoted to Red Bull. Wasn't, you know, next big thing, was the one who's going to be challenging Max. Got dropped, thinking, okay, well, he's going to go into RB. He obviously should perform better than Isaac Hadjar. Anyone would probably think that, right? Not the case. Isaac Hadjar, this weekend, was phenomenal. I think he's brilliant.
Isaac Hadjar, right, there are four Red Bull drivers on the grid. Max Verstappen, Yuki Tsunoda, Liam Lawson, Isaac Hadjar. Only one of those has not raced for Red Bull. Isaac Hadjar currently has the second most points out of all those drivers.
Mental, isn't it?
He's in an RB. Now, granted, that RB looks good, but I'm not having all this crap that I'm seeing online about, oh, actually, the RB car is better than the Red Bull. No, it's not. Shut up. It's just not.
No.
Like, it's not. That's just rubbish, right? Yuki Tsunoda and Liam Lawson should be competing with the Mercedes and the Ferraris week in, week out, right? Only Max Verstappen is going to be able to take it to the McLarens in that Red Bull. So I don't expect to see them there, but Liam Lawson massively underperformed. Yuki Tsunoda had a poor weekend. And Isaac Hadjar doing a brilliant job this season.
Qualified P7.
Yeah. And as I said, out-qualified his hero, Sir Lewis Hamilton.
Yeah.
He got to start ahead of him.
I think what I really like about Isaac Hadjar is he went into Australia, didn't start the race, had that spin. It was awful for him. Okay. There is many drivers who, having that situation, would their confidence would go, they'd go back to square one, and that performance, that low confidence would just continue. Mm-hmm. He did not let that bother him. He came back in China, overall had a very solid race in China, finished the race, got some good experience, did all right. Coming into Japan, in a very tough track, out-qualifying Lewis Hamilton, out-qualifying your teammate, out-qualifying the other Red Bull as well, to then obviously go into the race and only lose one position and pick up your first points for RB is phenomenal. This guy is a real deal. He's a true talent.
I mean, he was great in F2 last season.
He was.
And, you know, he's fortunate that RB do have a good car, right? Now, it's not better than the Red Bull.
No.
But it's a good car. And he's come in and he's done a really impressive job. Mm. So, you know, like I said, I bet he looks back to Australia now and he still thinks, oh my God, that was embarrassing. But I can laugh about it now. I'm doing well. My season is off to a start now. And yeah, I think there are big things for Isaac Hadjar in the future.
I've been really impressed with him. As I said, with regards to the rookies, I've been really impressed with Isaac Hadjar, Antonelli, even Bortoleto to a certain extent with that Sauber. And who was the other one? Behrmann. Those four, I think, have done brilliant. Mm-hmm. And that's really bizarre when you think about the other drivers who are there who, you know, doing, who would have thought he'd done better. And Lawson, yeah, who you were expecting. He's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
Should we look at the quick stand-ins before we continue?
Yeah.
So Lando Norris leads the driver standard, 62 points. Max Verstappen is 1 point behind with 61 points. Oscar Piastri, 49. And then you've got the two Mercedes in P4 and P5 with George and Kimi. Mm-hmm. The Ferrari, this is a mad thing. Charles Leclerc down in P6, closely followed by 2 points behind in Alex Albon. Lewis Hamilton with only 15 points is P8. Esteban Ocon, I know you gave him a hard time earlier. You really went in on him. He's currently P9 with 10 points.
Yeah, no, it's not bad, actually. I take it back, Esteban.
Yeah, you should do. That's awful.
No, that was a really horrible take from me.
But, you know, Lance Stroll, P10, 10 points as well. Yeah. Hülkenberg's even there with 6 points, and Ollie Bearman with 12. Isaac Hadjar has got 4 points. Did he pick up 4 points?
Sprint race?
Is that where he picked up the points? Because I was thinking that was his first proper points yesterday he picked up, wasn't it?
Who cares? We're not here to bring you knowledge. We're here to bring you good vibes and fun. So what that means for the constructors is obviously McLaren are leading it fairly comfortably on 111 points. You've got Mercedes in P2. I'm telling you, watch out for George Russell. Mercedes, 75 points. Red Bull, 61 points. Ferrari, 35 points. Williams in P5, 19 points. 18 points secured by...
4 points yesterday in the race.
Oh, well done. Haas, 15 points. Aston Martin, 10 points, which means Lance Stroll is the only man to collect points for Aston Martin this season.
He's a goat.
The Racing Bulls on 7 points. Kick Sauber on 6 points. And Alpine, none.
Mental.
No points whatsoever. But...
Hang on, just quickly. Who's your driver of the day?
Me.
Good.
Max Verstappen, obviously. That's just, you know... It was great. Max's driver of the weekend, so... That's not even up for debate. Nice. Bahrain.
We're gonna get into Bahrain?
Yep.
Go then. This is your thing.
Oh, this is my segment, is it? Well.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
You wanted to mix it up.
I'm using the BoxBox app for this, right? Just a little plug there. okay. Right, so Bahrain, we are heading there this weekend. Hopefully it's going to be some nice normal times.
It is.
I wonder what the time will be in Paris. I'm in Paris this weekend. That's why I'm not going to be here. But you have the Bahrain GP.
Yeah.
5.4 kilometres. 57 laps. 15 turns. 327 kilometres per hour top speed. And 16.8 metre elevation. Not. I've got a little quiz for you.
Okay.
What tyre compounds are we using?
I'm just trying to work out. The C1s are softs.
Well, no, it changes every week.
No, I know. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm wondering. I don't. I change every week.
No, this guy's useless, man. I'm going to sack him after this. C1, C2, C3. C3 are the softs. But that changes.
Well, I did say C1, didn't I?
Yeah, but you said C1, that's our softs.
Yeah.
It changes every week.
Yeah.
Next week, they might be using C3, C4, C5. You know.
Yeah. Okay.
Most successful constructor at Bahrain?
Mercedes?
Wrong, Ferrari. Most successful driver at Bahrain?
Oh, Lewis.
Obviously, it's Lewis. Lap record? Oh, this is a good one.
1 minute. Oh, just try to remember. 19.
You idiot. 1 minute 31.4. And who holds it? This will make you laugh.
It's going to be someone like Lance Stroll.
Pedro De La Rosa. good luck if you got that. Good luck. Well done if you got that at home. But yeah, anyway, the schedule is... If you're in the UK, you'll have to convert the time yourself. If you're not, I apologise. Practice 1 is at 12:30 p.m. on Friday. Practice 2 is at 4 p.m. Practice 3 is at 1:30 p.m. That's confusing. I don't know why it changes an hour. Because quali is then also at 5 rather than the same time as practice 2, 4 p.m. But the race then reverts back to 4 p.m. Just keep it consistent, lads. What the hell is wrong with that? But yeah, at least we're not going to have to wake up at 4-5 a.m. So that is going to be pleasant. I'm going to tell you that it's going to be a McLaren 1-2. They're going to absolutely walk away with it this weekend.
Whoa. Don't get ahead of yourself.
That's it.
Who's your top three for this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix?
It's a McLaren 1-2. They're going to absolutely walk away with it.
Okay. In what order? P1.
McLaren. And then McLaren and P2.
Okay. So who's P1?
It is going to be Lando Norris.
Okay, P2?
Oscar Piastri.
Okay, P3.
This is where it gets a little bit confusing, because I do take on your point of the tyre changes. George Russell.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Even though I know that's contrary to what you said about obviously Mercedes performing at cooler tracks, but
that was weird.
I think that Mercedes is looking stronger than it has done in this era.
Yeah, no, fair. P1, Oscar Piastri. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. Sam Hart. I'm going to say P1 this weekend. Lando Norris. I agree with you. P2. I just do see a 1-2 McLaren. Mm. I just do. I can't. I'm expecting them to be really strong this weekend. P3. It's got to be Max, or it's going to be one of the Ferraris. Because I'm hoping the Ferraris are going to come back into it.
Have they got upgrades this week? I need to get on Reddit and see if someone's goldfish has told them that Ferrari are bringing upgrades.
Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc.
Well, there you go. You heard it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. Do let us know who is your top three for this weekend's Bahrain Grand Prix. But like I said, McLaren, this climate should suit that car. I can't see anyone else coming close to them. However, the only thing that is gives you a bit of hope is the McLaren strategy. That's the only thing that will screw things up for them.
Yeah, but I think they'll be too far ahead. Mm. I think they'll be very comfortable this weekend.
No, fair. Quickly, got some news for you before we get onto fan questions and that.
Fucking hell, we still got fan questions.
Yeah, and we've got the other segment as well.
We have not got time for that.
All right, well, we're going to have to do the fan questions.
We've got fan questions. I say that not to cut the podcast short, but because we're a day behind, the editor's not going to have time to turn it around.
All right.
So that's why I was trying to zip us through.
Okay. Well, I'm trying. I just can't find the thing I need. Oh, you posted something, didn't you? Here we go. Right, fan questions. So, this is from Jane Lewis. Do you think Lewis has lost a little bit of belief in himself?
I think it would be hard not to. Mm. But I hope he's able to rediscover it, because he's won one race, excluding the sprint. One race in, 4 years? 3-4 years? Mm. That would make you lack belief in yourself. But like I said, you know, yeah, I don't think Lewis is the driver that he was, but that is kind of natural and normal. It certainly does not mean he's not capable of winning races or even a world championship.
Fair. Milan Coles has asked, will the 1-point difference affect Lando's confidence, causing him to bottle the next race?
The 1-point difference with
between
Max
and Lando?
Nah.
I don't think so.
It's too early on in the season. I don't think there's enough pressure at this point. So, nah.
No. And Thomas Typical has asked, thoughts on a tyre choice for Hamilton, different results on a medium? Obviously, Lewis Hamilton started on the hards compared to anyone else in the top 10.
Yeah, you know, at first I liked it. I thought, why not try something different? It was just unfortunate that the hards turned out to be quicker than the mediums. So, yeah, he was unable to capitalise on that different strategy.
And Dr. Tones, what needs to happen to avoid another race like this?
It's the cars, and it's, you know, it's the tyres. I stand by the fact that I think refueling would bring at least a little bit more entertainment.
Yeah.
But they need to make the cars smaller. They really do. They need to make sure that the cars can follow each other. They need to make sure that the tyres degrade. It's just everything. I think they're really going to have to, especially after a weekend like this, where I think this is the first time in a long time that I've really seen like the F1 community actually be like, not sure about this. It's pretty boring. And that's excluding 2023, because that was boring for different reasons. This is like, oh my God, like, there's no overtaking. Mm. Bahrain might be different. I hope it is. And, you know, it's easy to get dramatic and be like, oh, it's over. This is terrible this season. But I think generally these cars have been fairly crap. And everyone's going to be like, well, look how close it's been in qualifying. Great.
But it's no good when it comes to the race.
Yeah, exactly.
You want closer racing. And I know some people will say you have close racing. The top three finish within 2 seconds, granted. But if it's just a train, nothing's up.
Yeah, enough. Yeah, it's not racing if they're not... They're just following each other.
Yeah. And the fact that only two drivers swapped out of the whole top 10 yesterday is just mad.
And it was, you know, it was a Ferrari and a Racing Bull. Mm. So...
And one car got lapped and the rest of the cars finished.
Yeah.
No DNFs, nothing.
No. But yeah, also the cars need to be made smaller. They're so big.
Do I have time for this? Because I asked this and I was really excited about talking about this quickly. I'll be quick. Okay.
How long? Okay.
Give me 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
All right. So I asked you guys on social media, what rule would you love to see in F1? Okay. Can be anything.
Is this off the back of me saying they should bring in an NHL style policy where they just have a good old scrap?
Kind of. It got me thinking. So a few people have said, obviously, refueling. But I really, this one is class. And I actually like this. And I've never really thought about it. Jane Lewis has said, and even Claire North, they pretty much said the same thing. When safety cars in place, etc., the drivers are not allowed to box and change tyres.
Yeah, that could make it interesting.
That, just think of it, okay? Safety car is in. Pastor Maldonado, for example, has just pitted before the safety car. All the other cars are on used tyres. They're struggling. Good old Maldonado's on fresh softs with 10 laps to go. All right. No one else can pit. He goes on to win the race.
It would open the sport up to some interesting results. I think it'd be interesting because teams would never be waiting for a safety car.
No, but you like the cars at the beginning, you wouldn't be starting on softs, would you? Because you'd just go all out. You know, if safety car happens, you want to be on the tyre that's potentially going to last longer. And by the way, before you comment down below, I know Pastor Maldonado is not in the sport, okay?
He's also a race winner.
He is.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not against that. One thing, I don't think they should be allowed to change their tyres under red flag conditions.
No.
That should be gone. Because that can ruin races.
Yeah.
That does ruin races.
Well, we've seen it in the past, haven't we?
But I think if you look at the flip side of people pitting under safety, I think that can often lead to some really interesting race results. So...
You look at Miami last year. Lando Norris.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? I think it's... Not everyone benefits from it.
No.
And I think you'll get the same if you take it away, where some people will benefit from the fact that they pitted before the safety car. It's just a spin on an existing rule of being able to pit under safety car.
But how interesting would it be that actually you've got, you know, the top 10 cars haven't pitted yet. Safety car comes out. The cars behind have already done, you know, the Williams, Alpines or whatever have already pitted because they've gone early. They've whatever. Safety car comes out, cars in front.
It does make it interesting. It gives it a different spin. It's not something I'd be against if they implemented it. Mm. But I think you do also get the excitement from being able to pit under safety car.
Yeah, yeah. Do let us know. Get your thoughts. There's one more, which I liked. Okay. I know. Right. Driver of the day is picked by the drivers and you get points. So the drivers pick... Say, for example...
Terrible American-style rule.
But imagine it, right?
Terrible rule.
Imagine it.
Number one, the drivers haven't even watched the race, so how the hell would they know?
No, they have to go off and watch it afterwards and just, you know, see.
No. Terrible rule. They certainly shouldn't get points for it.
I actually found that quite funny. I could just imagine it, right? Well, that driver's...
That's like... the sort of rule that Netflix would put into the sport.
That driver's 10 points clear, okay? Right, let's all club together.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It gets so political and biased. Just leave it to the fans. That's our thing.
It made me laugh. Thank you for everyone who sent those in. Right, that is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have, give us a like. If you're watching on YouTube, a like, subscribe. If you're listening to us on Spotify or any other audio platforms, do leave us a rating, 5-star rating. Really appreciate it. And yeah, check us out on all social media, TikTok, Instagram. We post daily, sometimes twice, three times daily. So do check us out on there. We won't be back next week, but do check us out on social media because I'll be posting up clips. And yeah, have a great week. Bye-bye.